Chapter 13. Seek Solutions. Life comes with its share of challenges, both big and small. How people respond to these challenges often shapes the quality of their day or even their life. It's easy to fall into the habit of pointing fingers when things go wrong. After all, asking who's to blame requires less effort than stepping back and considering a more constructive question. What can I do to make things better? 9-year-old Jacob woke up in a bad mood. As he groggily slid out of bed, his day began to unravel almost immediately. His hand knocked over a glass of water that had been sitting unsteadily on his bedside table. "Who left that water there?" he grumbled, as if accusing the universe of conspiring against him. Still grumbling under his breath, Jacob swung his feet to the floor and stumbled toward the door. Half asleep, he slammed his toe against the corner of the doorframe. A sharp cry of pain escaped him as he hopped on one foot, scowling at the room. "Why is my room so small?" he groaned, as if the cramped space were responsible for his misstep. The frustrations kept piling up. As he rummaged through his dresser in search of his favorite shirt, his irritation flared. "Mom," he shouted, "my clothes aren't even in my drawer. How am I supposed to get dressed?" It felt, in Jacob's young mind, as though the world had conspired to make his day difficult for him. Nothing was going right, and someone, anyone, had to be at fault. His reaction, though dramatic, was typical for a 9-year-old. Children, after all, are still learning how to manage emotions and navigate challenges. But Jacob's behavior isn't unique to children. Many adults, too, fall into the habit of blaming others when things don't go their way. Blaming in the heat of the moment can feel like the easiest response. It provides a way to vent frustration and shift the burden of responsibility, if only temporarily. Yet, while this instinct may bring momentary relief, it rarely leads to real solutions. More often than not, it deepens the problem. Jacob's mom, recognizing his frustration, saw this as an opportunity to teach him a valuable life skill, the ability to seek solutions. The lesson in problem solving. Once Jacob had settled down enough to listen, his mom sat him at the kitchen table. She placed a notebook and a pencil in front of him, signaling that they were about to work through the morning's frustrations together. "Jacob," she began, her voice calm and reassuring, "I know it feels like everything went wrong this morning. But instead of focusing on who's to blame, let's figure out how to make things better. We'll tackle these problems one by one. Step 1. Define the problem." Jacob crossed his arms but gave a small nod. "Okay," he said hesitantly. His mom encouraged him to list everything that had gone wrong. "Well," he started, "there was water on the table. My toe hurts because my room is too small, and I couldn't find my clothes." His mom offered an encouraging smile. "Great start. Now, let's focus on one problem. Which one feels the most important to you?" After a moment of thought, Jacob admitted, "I guess the biggest problem is my room. It's always a mess. And that's why I hurt myself and couldn't find my clothes." Step 2, brainstorm solutions. "Perfect," his mom said, jotting down the problem. "Messy room causing frustration and accidents. Now, let's think of as many ways as possible to fix this. It doesn't matter how silly the ideas sound. Just say whatever comes to mind." Jacob grinned. "Okay, aliens could come and clean my room for me." His mom chuckled. "Great idea. What else?" They went back and forth, tossing around ideas, everything from hiring robots to setting a daily cleaning schedule. His mom even added a few outlandish suggestions of her own to keep things fun. Step 3, evaluate and choose. Once their list was complete, Jacob's mom said, "Now we get to cross out the ideas that won't work. Which ones do you want to veto?" Jacob giggled as he scratched out aliens and robots, but left cleaning schedule on the list. Together, they agreed that Jacob would spend 5 minutes tidying his room each evening before bed. His mom offered to help him set a timer and even added a small reward to make it more fun. Step 4. Try the solution. The plan was put into action that very evening. Jacob cleaned for 5 minutes, focusing on one small area of his room at a time. By the end of the week, his room was noticeably tidier and mornings felt a little less chaotic. Step 5. Check-in. A few days later, Jacob's mom asked, "How's the cleaning going? Do you think it's helping?" Jacob nodded. "Yeah, I haven't stubbed my toe since I started cleaning, and I can actually find my clothes now." Playing the blame game. Life can be stressful, especially when things don't go as planned. In moments of frustration, blaming often feels like the easiest way out. When something goes wrong, it's natural to think, "This isn't my fault. Someone else must be responsible." Blaming shifts the focus away from us, allowing us to avoid uncomfortable emotions like guilt, shame, or responsibility. But while blaming may seem like a quick fix, it often leaves us stuck, disconnected, and feeling powerless. Dr. Abraham Tversky described addictive thinking, a pattern of thought that reinforces negative attitudes, distorted beliefs, and strong resistance to change. Dr. Marsha Linehan, the founder of DBT, expanded on this idea, explaining that addictive thinking often traps us in victim mode. This mindset convinces us that everything is happening to us, and we have little control over our circumstances. It's a mental trap that can feel deceptively comforting. After all, if it's someone else's fault, then it's not our responsibility to fix it, right? But this mindset comes at a cost. Addictive thinking traps us in a cycle of blame, helplessness, and inaction. Addictive thinking deceives us and makes us believe we're powerless, when in reality, we have much more control than we give ourselves credit for. Understanding addictive thinking. Let's take a closer look at what addictive thinking really means. It's not about addiction in the traditional sense. It's about becoming hooked on a pattern of thoughts that reinforce helplessness. When we're caught in addictive thinking, we might say things like, "This always happens to me. It's not fair. If only other people would change, everything would be better." Sound familiar? That's because blaming is a reflex many of us learn over time. It often starts in childhood, when we're still figuring out how to handle emotions and responsibilities. Take Jacob, for example, the 9-year-old boy we met earlier. When his morning went wrong, his first instinct was to blame everything and everyone around him, the glass of water, the doorframe, even his mom for not putting his clothes in his drawer. Jacob's reaction may seem like typical childhood behavior, but the truth is, many adults respond the same way when life feels tough. Whether it's blaming a spouse in an argument, a boss at work, or even external factors like traffic or weather, addictive thinking leads us to believe the problem lies outside of ourselves and that we have no power to change it. Why addictive thinking is so tempting? Addictive thinking can feel like a temporary refuge during tough times. It provides relief in the moment, protecting us from the difficult work of self-reflection and problem-solving. However, this short-term comfort comes with long-term consequences. Loss of agency. When we place blame outside of ourselves, we relinquish our power to create change. If everything is someone else's fault, what can we do to fix it? Nothing. And that's where we remain. Stuck in a cycle. Blaming doesn't resolve problems. It keeps us trapped in the same patterns, frustrated and unable to move forward. Strained relationships. Blame creates conflict. When we point fingers, others often feel defensive, escalating tension and pushing us further from the people we care about. So why do we fall into this trap? Part of the answer lies in how our brains are wired. Blame offers an emotional shortcut that helps us avoid discomfort. Instead of confronting feelings of vulnerability or uncertainty, we project those emotions outward. But while it may feel easier in the moment, this approach doesn't lead to growth or peace. The DBT perspective, breaking free. The good news is that addictive thinking doesn't have to be permanent. It's a habit we can unlearn with practice, intention, and the right tools. DBT provides a roadmap for breaking free from this cycle and replacing blame with proactive action. Let's explore some DBT skills that can help. 1. Mindfulness. Recognizing the blame trap. The first step toward change is awareness. Mindfulness, a core DBT skill, teaches us to observe our thoughts without judgment. When you find yourself slipping into blame mode, pause and ask yourself, "What am I feeling right now? Am I focusing on what I can control? Or am I pointing fingers? How can I take responsibility in this moment?" Mindfulness creates the space to respond intentionally rather than reacting automatically. 2. Problem solving, from blame to action. Blame focuses on the past, on what went wrong and who is responsible. Problem solving, however, looks forward. It's about asking, "What can I do to make this better?" This shift is empowering because it places you back in control. Even small steps toward a solution can break the cycle of helplessness and frustration. 3. Pros and cons. Finding motivation. Sometimes, even when we know what we need to do, we struggle to find the motivation to act. This is where the pros and cons skill comes in. By listing the benefits of taking responsibility and the drawbacks of staying stuck in blame, we can gain clarity and find the motivation to move forward. 4. Radical acceptance, letting go of what you can't control. Not every situation is within our control, and that's okay. Radical acceptance is about acknowledging reality as it is, not as we wish it were. It's not about giving up. It's about releasing the struggle against things we can't change so we can focus our energy on what we can change. Turning challenges into opportunities. Breaking free from addictive thinking requires both courage and practice, but it's a journey worth embarking on. When we release blame, we regain our ability to create meaningful change in our lives. We stop viewing challenges as obstacles and start seeing them as opportunities for growth and learning. So, the next time you feel the urge to say, "This isn't my fault," pause and ask yourself, "What am I feeling right now? What can I do to improve this situation? How can I take responsibility in a way that feels empowering?" You don't need to achieve perfection right away. Progress is built through small, intentional steps. With tools like mindfulness, problem solving, and radical acceptance, you have the power to rewrite your story from one of helplessness to one of strength and resilience. Problem solving and other DBT skills. What Jacob learned that morning wasn't just how to keep his room clean. It was how to approach life's challenges with a problem-solving mindset. In DBT, this approach is part of emotion regulation and distress tolerance. Instead of staying stuck in frustration and blame, Jacob was encouraged to focus on actionable steps. His mom also introduced a related DBT skill, pros and cons. When Jacob hesitated to commit to the cleaning plan, she asked him to weigh the benefits, No more stubbing his toe, easier mornings, against the drawbacks, spending a few minutes cleaning each evening. This helped him find the motivation to follow through. Encouragement for moms. This approach isn't just for kids. Whether it's handling a child's tantrum, managing household chaos, or dealing with personal stress, problem-solving and pros and cons skills can turn overwhelming situations into opportunities for growth. Remember, progress is made one step at a time, and every small success builds resilience for the future. Together, you and your child can tackle life's challenges, one solution at a time. The power of problem solving. Life can be unpredictable, and challenges often arise when we least expect them. In those moments, it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stuck, or even helpless. That's where problem solving comes in. It's a practical skill that empowers us to take control of situations instead of letting them control us. Problem solving isn't just about resolving a single issue. It's about building confidence, resilience, and the belief that we can handle life's challenges. In DBT, problem solving is a foundational skill that shifts our focus from frustration to action. It's a step-by-step approach that anyone can learn. And the best part is, it works for both small hiccups, like messy rooms, and larger challenges, like emotional conflicts or family struggles. Here's how you can start building your problem-solving muscles. Step 1. Define the problem clearly. The first step in solving any problem is identifying exactly what the issue is. While this may seem obvious, it's often where we get stuck. When emotions run high, it's easy to mistake the symptoms of a problem for the problem itself. That's why taking a moment to pause and define the issue is so important. If you're working with someone else, whether it's a spouse, child, or colleague, this step becomes even more critical. Different people often perceive the same situation in entirely different ways. For instance, if your child is upset about bedtime routines, the child's perspective might be, "It's not fair that I have to go to bed early," while your perspective might be, "They're cranky in the morning because they're not getting enough sleep." Start by asking, "What's really going on here? What's the specific problem we're trying to solve?" If you're working alone, write the problem down. Seeing the problem in writing can help focus and clarify your thoughts. Remember, defining the problem is about pinpointing the core issue, not blaming yourself or others. Step 2. Brainstorm solutions. Once you've defined the problem, it's time to get creative. Brainstorming is about letting ideas flow freely without judgment. This is where you think outside the box and explore every possibility, no matter how unconventional it may seem. For instance, when my son and I brainstormed solutions to his messy room, he jokingly suggested that we hire aliens to clean it for him. While we both laughed at the idea, it sparked more practical solutions like setting a daily cleaning schedule or creating a reward system for keeping his room tidy. Here's how to make your brainstorming session a success. Set a timer. 5 to 10 minutes works well, and write down every idea that comes to mind. Avoid evaluating or criticizing ideas during this phase. Even if something seems silly, let it remain on the list. It might lead to a more practical solution later. If you're brainstorming with someone else, take turns suggesting ideas and build on each other's creativity. Brainstorming isn't just about finding solutions. It's also about shifting your mindset from feeling stuck to feeling capable. By the end of this step, you'll likely feel more powerful and empowered. even if the problem isn't fully solved yet. Step 3. Evaluate options. Now that you have a list of potential solutions, it's time to assess the solutions. This step focuses on refining your choices to the most feasible and effective options. If you're collaborating with someone, this is where teamwork and compromise become important. Ask yourself or the other person, which solutions appear practical? Which options align with our goals or values? What is the simplest action we can take right now? For example, in our messy room situation, my son and I quickly ruled out the aliens idea, but kept more practical options such as a cleaning schedule. If you're working alone, go through your list and eliminate the ideas that don't seem practical. Narrow it down to one or two solid options you can try. This step is also a good opportunity to anticipate potential challenges. If a solution appears promising but has drawbacks, think about how you can address those issues. For example, if a new bedtime routine might face resistance, can you offer a small reward to help ease the transition? Step 4. Try a solution. Now it's time to take action. Select one solution and put it into practice. This is where theory turns into reality. Whether it's a new routine, a conversation, or strategy for managing your emotions, commit to trying it for a set period. Here's how to approach this step. Be clear about what you'll do and when. For example, we'll clean the room together for 5 minutes every evening at 7 p.m. Focus on progress, not perfection. It's okay if the solution doesn't work perfectly the first time. What matters is that you're taking steps to address the issue. If possible, involve others in the process. Collaboration not only makes solutions more effective, but also strengthens relationships. Remember, trying a solution doesn't mean you're committed to it forever. Think of it as an experiment. You're gathering insights about what works and what doesn't. Step 5. Check in. After giving the solution time to take effect, pause and reflect. Ask yourself, did this solution address the issue? What worked well and what didn't? Should I adjust the approach, try a different solution, or brainstorm new ideas? Problem solving is rarely a one-time fix, and that's okay. The key is to remain persistent and adaptable. Sometimes a solution partially resolves the issue, but needs adjustments. Other times, you may need to return to brainstorming and try something entirely different. Each attempt is progress, even if it doesn't always feel like progress. The big picture: why problem solving matters. Problem solving isn't just about addressing issues. It's about building resilience and confidence. Every time you face a challenge directly, you're teaching yourself and your children that problems are opportunities for growth, not obstacles. So, the next time you encounter a challenge, remember this. You don't need all the answers right away. Start by defining the issue, let creativity guide your brainstorming, and take it one small step at a time. Progress is the goal, not perfection. You have the tools to handle whatever comes your way, and each problem you solve brings you one step closer to feeling more empowered and capable. Let's keep moving forward, one solution at a time.